Joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline to talk about the Big Ten's decision to return to the college football field is Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how are you this afternoon, man?
Happy. You know, we have Big Ten football coming back. I've lived pretty much my entire life on or around a Big Ten campus. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of other issues and concerns, but for right now, I'm just kind of enjoying it. Yay,
okay.
We get to possibly see this happen again.
I'm happy too, Pete. I'm happy too. I said at the beginning of the show, I want as many sports played as possible. Like, even the sports I don't watch. I want the MLS back. I want it all back. I just want everybody to have as normal a life back as they can possibly have. But I have some concerns about the Big Ten returning. And what I said at the beginning of the show was this. When they shut it down, I was borderline shocked because I don't expect the NCAA or any of their subsidiaries to turn away money. I thought things had to be really, really bad for them to just call off the football season. Now, if something changed, I'm totally okay with getting these kids back on the football field. So what has changed for the Big Ten to make this decision, Pete Futak?
I have been a Big Ten apologist from the start. And I think all the arguments, all the complaints, all these things, it's been the wrong game almost that everyone is playing. They're, like you said, they're assuming that a billion-dollar company thinks it's good business to not take hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
And so the Big Ten, I actually think, and it's the strangest part about this is, no one buys what might be the truth, which is that the Big Ten presidents were actually worried about player safety. Like, I'm a little more skeptical than that. I always kind of thought that the timing of things had to do with when tuition money came in and other factors and certainly liability things. But at the same time, I do think that they actually were concerned that, look, we don't have this. Now, it does depend on risk tolerances and things like that. And it's kind of hard, though, on the backdrop of everything else. Like, of course I want Big Ten football back. I run a college football website, and I love the sport. But at the same time, look, I went to Wisconsin, and, you know, they're on a two-week lockdown. And Michigan State's on a two-week lockdown. Ohio State's canceling spring break. Illinois's got an outbreak, even though it's done everything right. Michigan students are taking their classes from dorms. It's not like the schools themselves have this. It's not like they have this figured out. The one game changer, and this is the one misstep the Big Ten made, is they didn't do what the Pac-12 did, which was come out with why they had postponed. And the Pac-12 just flat out said, we don't trust these tests. We don't think we've got reliable enough tests to do this. And the Big Ten had the same thought, but now things have changed. Now you have the rapid advancements in tests that, you know, the older ones just had too many false positives, and they think that this one's going to be a whole lot better, more reliable, safer, cheaper, the whole thing. And they've done enough research on the myocarditis side to think, okay, we might be able to do this. So, all right, let's just hope it's all safe and happens, but we're going to have to kind of trust them at this point.
So, but you are giving them your trust, or at least benefit of the doubt, that they're returning to football because they feel like it's safe to return to football and not because of public or political pressure or the hundreds of millions of dollars that they are set to lose.
Oh, two different things. I absolutely think they're returning because of the hundreds of millions of dollars they're going to lose. Except the problem with that, though, is there's not going to be fans in the stands. They're not getting that money. They're getting the TV money. Football will be fine, but, you know, canceling a bunch of other, keeping other sports canceled is going to still be on. But in terms of the pressure, no. It's the big freaking 10. I mean, people kind of underestimate what a massive corporation this is in terms of dollar amounts and what it does. And it doesn't, like, I kept saying to everyone, oh, this is a PR disaster. Like, okay, so, you know, who cares? Everyone's begging for the product. Everyone's going to come right back. It's not like Ohio State fans are going to go jump ship and go root for another school. You know, everyone's going to come back. Everyone's a Big Ten fan. And they're just trying to figure out how to do this the best way possible. So they want the money, and they think they can kind of do this. And, all right, let's go from there.
And they're kind of doing this really without any sort of safety net. They plan on 14 schools playing 8 games in 8 weeks. Now, I know you're not a medical expert or an epidemiologist. You cover college football.
I am one. I've decided I am one. We all are.
Do you think it's unrealistic for the Big Ten to think they're going to pull off 14 teams playing 8 games in 8 weeks with no wiggle room? I was ranting earlier in the show that Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball gave themselves no wiggle room in the way that they put together this schedule. And what's a wacky year? And look, I know these are difficult circumstances that all these organizations are working under, but that seems like a risky proposition to me to sort of put this schedule together with no safety net.
I think so. I mean, look, I was giving the Big Ten all sorts of praise and love throughout all this for its original schedule, where they did it right. They had all these built-in fail-safes. They had at least 3 different potential backup plans for weeks that you could have changed around games. You had Michigan and Ohio State going early, so heaven forbid something went wrong, they could play it later. And I've been dogging the SEC throughout all this, where my gosh, the idea of playing 10 games in 11 weeks and putting Alabama-Auburn on Thanksgiving weekend in the second-to-last game, good luck with that. You know, that's just built for a disaster in terms of scheduling, figuring out the schedule and adjusting things around. 8 games in 8 weeks, eh. Now, I know Barry Alvarez has come out and said that there's going to be this 9th week or championship. I don't think it's championship week. I can't remember what they call it, but championship something. And the 2 teams that don't play in the conference championship, everyone else gets 1 extra game. I'm thinking that's going to be kind of that game where you get a team that maybe has got 3 wins and maybe needs a 4th win to get bowl eligible, or however this is going to work. I think that's probably going to turn into more of makeup games than just 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, and down the line.
Okay, so how are they going to handle this? Talking with Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. If there are positive tests, what would shut down the Big Ten? I know people don't want to hear that, but what's worst case scenario here that would shut down the Big Ten or shut down a program if we start seeing positive tests?
Yeah, shutdown's almost the wrong way to put it. More like pause.
Okay.
Where they're saying is they've got a green zone, a green, orange, and red are their color-coded words, and it's something like 0 to 2%. Positive rates, you're in greenish orange zone. 2 to 5, you're in orange zone. And 5% positive test rates mean that the entire football team has to take a timeout for 7 days. So it's not canceled. They're just saying, okay, the team has to take be off for 7 days. With that said, though, the harsh part about this is the players getting tested. Like right now, if players are tested in for many schools, and they come back fine, then okay, you just come back on campus. If a Big Ten player is tested positive, 21 days, boom. That's pretty much going to be at least half the season, depending on when it happens. And so, look, it's. I think that's 1, just to be safe, and 2, as sort of a kind of an incentive to be like, dudes, don't go to that house party. You know, just, you know, don't do things. You know, don't go on a party bus. Don't go doing crazy college, you know, student stuff, because so, if you do and you get it, then you want to play. Well, you're out 3 weeks if you get tested positive.
Pete, that party bus pulls up in front of your dorm. It's hard to say no, man. It's hard to turn that down. Even in the middle of a pandemic, you're a 19, 20 year old kid. Party bus pulls in front of the house or the dorms, and
I'm over twice that age. And if a party bus pulls up right now, I'm popping off. Forget it.
One more for you, Pete. What does this do in terms of the Big Ten's place in the college football playoff with an 8-game schedule? Will they still get consideration of the playoff committee, or have they been eliminated?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
No, absolutely. There's no way. The college football playoff is going to adapt and adjust as it goes along, and it says from the start, their job is to just judge whoever's playing. And so, okay, if we've got, you know, 30 teams playing, we're going to take the 4 best teams out of the 30. If we've got, you know, 90 teams playing now, which is what it's going to be with the Big Ten coming back, all right, we're going to still go with it. If a Big Ten team goes 9-0 with the Big Ten championship, it is absolutely 100% rock solid lock going to be in the college football playoff.
That is Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. You can follow him at Pete Futak on Twitter and a guest frequently right here on the Bill Michaels Show. Great stuff, Pete. Thanks a lot, man.
Anytime. You have a good one.
And Pete Futak joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. They're hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, and they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Give them a call at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.